أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين ما كان محمد أبا أحد من رجالكم ولكن رسول الله وخاتم النبيين وكان الله بكل شيء عليما
The translation of this verse is as follows: that Muhammad, peace be upon him, is not the father of any of your men, but he is the messenger of Allah and the seal of the prophets, and Allah has full knowledge of all things. In Pakistan, from time to time, under one pretext or the other, politicians, as well as religious clerics, continue to express their animosity against Ahmadis. In their view, this is the easiest way to gain a following and confederates from among the nation and to gain popularity among them. And the biggest weapon that can be used to stir up the emotions of Muslims is the weapon of Khatm-e Nubuwwat. Hence, whenever a political party is losing its credibility, or the graph of a politician's popularity, or his merit is falling, and whenever so-called religious organizations want to gain political prestige, and whenever they want to humiliate a rival organization or a political party or a politician, they link them with Ahmadis and they say that, look, what grave injustice is about to be committed, and that these people want to include or are in the process of including the Ahmadis among the mainstream Muslims under the influence of foreign powers. Whereas Ahmadis, in their view, deny Khatm-e Nubuwwat, i.e. the finality of prophethood. The so-called sympathizers of Islam say that we will not allow the honor of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, to be injured, and we will never allow such injustice to take place. And what grave injustice it is that Ahmadis be called Muslims. Furthermore, they say that they will even lay down their lives for this cause. And the representatives of the rival party, which may well be governing, immediately get up in parliament and say that it is out of the question that Ahmadis be accorded any rights. Rather, they will raise this slogan that the few rights, albeit in the capacity of third-class citizens, which they are enjoying at the moment due to being Pakistani citizens, should also be seized. Everyone has his own political agenda and their own vested interests. However, Ahmadis are drawn into them unwillingly and without any connection, because they are a soft target. Members of Parliament, those from the governing party as well as those from other parties, speak wholeheartedly against Ahmadis. Thus, this is exactly what we witnessed recently in the National Assembly of Pakistan, when a political party or the governing party was altering the words of a constitutional amendment due to its own vested interests. There was a lot of commotion recently in Pakistan, and the world has become witness to all this as a result of the media coverage. Therefore, there is no need to elaborate upon this further. However, as far as the Ahmadiyya community is concerned, neither have we ever asked a foreign power to grant us the status of Muslims before the law and the constitution, while instigating an amendment into the constitution of the Assembly of Pakistan, and nor have we ever begged any Pakistani government for this, and nor do we require a certificate from any assembly or government in order to be called Muslims. We call ourselves Muslims because we are Muslims. And Allah the Almighty and His Messenger, peace be upon Him, have declared us to be Muslims. We pronounce the Kalima, i.e. the Muslim creed, that there is none worthy of worship except Allah, and Muhammad is His Messenger. We also believe in every pillar of Islam and article of faith. We have faith in the Holy Quran and believe in the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, to be Khatamun Nabiyyin, i.e. the seal of the prophets, just as Allah the Almighty has stated in the Holy Quran, and as I have just recited. We also have firm conviction that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, is Khatamun Nabiyyin, i.e. the seal of the prophets. As a matter of fact, the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, has very clearly and elaborately written on many occasions that the person who denies the concept of Khatm-e-Nubuwwat, i.e. the seal of prophets, I consider him to be irreligious and outside the fold of Islam. He is neither an Ahmadi and nor a Muslim. Hence, this unrest which they create against us, and this allegation which they level against us, that we deny the concept of Khatm-e-Nubuwwat, and that we, God forbid, do not believe the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, to be Khatm-e-Nubiyyin, is an extremely foul allegation. This allegation has been raised against the Jamaat and against the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, since the time of the claim of the promised Messiah, alayhi salam. And from time to time, as I mentioned, whenever they need to acquire the objectives, these people feel an urge to raise this issue. In one of his sermons, Hazrat Khalifatul Masih II radiyallahu ta'ala anhu said that this allegation is raised against us. And when we inform them of their error, by saying that how can we reject the concept of Khatm-e Nubuwwat even though we read the Holy Quran, and that we have faith and believe in the Holy Quran, and furthermore, that the Holy Quran declares the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, to be Khatamun Nabiyyin, i.e. the seal of all the prophets. Upon this, the non-Ahmadi scholars raise this allegation, which they have also taught the general public, and this allegation is raised even today. As a matter of fact, due to their mutual relationship and due to the media, the scholars of other countries are being influenced by these so-called scholars from Pakistan. And thus they say that, God forbid, Ahmadis do not believe in the Holy Quran, and that they consider the revelations of Mirza Sahib to be superior to the Holy Quran. Hence, when many Arabs become aware of the reality and the truth and enter the fold of Ahmadiyyat by doing the bad, i.e. pledging initiation, they have said that when we asked our scholars about their view regarding Ahmadiyyat, they told us such kind of things, in that Ahmadis do not believe in the Holy Quran and that they have made a separate Quran and book, and that they do not believe the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, to be the last prophet. Rather, they believe Mirza Sahib to be the last prophet. Also, that their Hajj is different, and they do not go for Hajj, and they have a different Qibla, i.e. direction of prayer. And they do not pray facing the Khanakaba, i.e. the house of God in Mecca. However, these people, i.e. the converts, say that when we researched into this, the falsehood of these so-called scholars became exposed. Furthermore, these false allegations of the non-Ahmadi Maulvis, i.e. the clerics, against Ahmadis, becomes the means of the acceptance of Ahmadiyyat for many people. Thus, by telling lies and speaking falsehood, these Maulvis, i.e. the clerics, are in one way doing tabligh, i.e. preaching the true message of Islam for us. How can this be possible for us to not believe in the Holy Quran and to not believe the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, to be Khatamun Nabiyyin, i.e. the seal of the prophets, when the very revelations of the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, declare the Holy Quran to be the book of God the Exalted and hold it to be the fountain of all virtues, and they declare the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, to be Khatamun Nabiyyin, i.e. the seal of prophets. This has been mentioned in the revelations. Hence, one of the revelations of the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, in regards to the Holy Quran, is Al-Khayru Kulluhu Fil Quran. That is, every virtue is found in the Holy Quran. Similarly, the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, also said that those who honor the Quran will be honored in heaven. It has never been mentioned that we should honor his revelations. The revelations of the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, are subservient to the Holy Quran. They carry no status independently and on their own. Whatever virtues we must find and whatever guidance we must search for, and if we wish to seek guidance with regards to a certain matter in society, then we do so through the Holy Quran. Furthermore, many revelations of the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, elaborate and explain this. Similarly, there are countless extracts of the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, with regards to the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, being Khatamun Nabiyyin. Apart from this, there is the revelation in which the very phrase Khatamun Nabiyyin has been used. The revelation is, that is, invoke blessings upon the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and his progeny, who is the chief of the children of Adam, and the Khatamun Nabiyyin, i.e. the seal of the prophets. And this revelation was received on several occasions. Then there is also this revelation, that Kullu Barakatin Min Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that is, that every virtue emanates from Muhammad, peace be upon him. Furthermore, the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, writes in his book, Tajalliyat-e Ilahiyah, i.e. divine manifestations, that if I was not a part of the Ummah, i.e. from among the followers of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, then even if my deeds were equivalent to mountains, I would not have received this honor of divine communion. This is due to the fact that now, apart from the prophethood of Muhammad, peace be upon him, every other prophethood has come to an end. Thus, the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, is also subservient to the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and his revelations are also subservient to the Holy Quran, and are only its elaboration. If we, God forbid, considered the revelations of the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, to be superior to the Holy Quran, then why is it that today we are spending our money and making financial sacrifices for the sake of publishing translations of the Holy Quran? Instead of this, we should be publishing the revelations of the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam. However, until now, the translation of the Holy Quran has been completed and published in 75 languages, whereas the translation into some other language is still in progress, and they will soon be published, inshallah. Moreover, translations of selected verses of the Holy Quran have already been published in 111 languages. On the other hand, the great Islamic governments and affluent religious organizations should state that in how many different languages they have published the translation of the Holy Quran. It is us Ahmadis who understand the true meaning and spirit of Khatamun Nabiyyin. And it is us Ahmadis who are publishing God Almighty's declaration of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, being Khatamun Nabiyyin in various countries of the world and in their respective languages. And despite this, these people raise the allegation that Ahmadis, God forbid, deny the concept of Khatmi Nubuwwat. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, has taught us such understanding and comprehension of the concept of Khatmi Nubuwwat, which these people who claim to be the custodians of Khatmi Nubuwwat cannot even come close to. Explaining the fact that whether we believe the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, to be Khatum al-Nabiyyin or not, the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, once stated in the gathering that it should also be remembered that the allegation that is raised against me and my Jamaat, that we do not believe the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, to be Khatum al-Nabiyyin, is a grave fabrication against us. The conviction, comprehension, and insight with which we believe the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, to be Khatamun Nabiyyin, others do not even believe in the smallest fraction thereof, and nor are they capable of doing so. They do not understand the truth and secret of the concept of Khatmi Nubuwwat, which is placed in the term Khatamun Nabiyyin. They have only heard this term from their forefathers, but are oblivious of its true meaning, and what Khatmi Nubuwwat really means, and what it really means to believe in it. However, God Almighty knows that we deem the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, as Khatamul Anbiya with full conviction. And God Almighty has opened the true meaning of Khatmi Nubuwwat upon us to such a degree that we experience the immense taste of this sweet drink of intuitive knowledge that we received, and no one other than those who are made to consume it understand it. Whilst explaining the true essence of the meaning of Khatmi Nubuwwat, the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, states, God Almighty has sent us such a prophet who is the seal of the believers and the seal of the holy people and the seal of the prophets. And he has sent down on him this book, which is the most perfect book, and is the seal of all the books. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, who is the seal of the prophets. Through him, prophethood was completed. This prophethood has not stopped like one stops someone from breathing and causes them to die. Such end is nothing to be proud of. But in truth, what was meant is that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him's prophethood, has been perfected, meaning that the qualities of all the prophets were given to him. And thus, all the different qualities which were given to all the prophets, from Adam to Jesus, son of Mary, were all brought together in the person of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. And so, it was in this way that he was regarded as Khatamun Nabiyyin. And just like the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, is Khatamun Nabiyyin, in the same way, all the various teachings of different religions and different exhortations have been perfected by the Holy Quran. And thus, the Holy Quran has become Khatamul Kutub. Hence, this is the reality that our opponents are heedless of, and they are in the grasp of scholars who desire not to let them go, because they have turned religion into a business, and it would be affected if their followers find out about the truth. While elaborating on the meaning of Khatamun Nabiyyin, the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, states in one place, I wish to reaffirm that the principal meaning of the expression Khatamun Nabiyyin is that the qualities of prophethood beginning with Adam alayhi salam found perfection in the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. This is the obvious meaning. The other meaning is that the circle of the excellences of prophethood was completed with the advent of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. It is absolutely true that the Holy Quran perfected all the previous teachings which were incomplete, and thus prophethood also reached its perfection. That is, all the teachings of the Holy Quran perfected everything that was brought by the previous prophets, because their status was not as elevated as the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. This teaching and Sharia was revealed to the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and this is where prophethood was perfected. And it is not possible for any other human being to reach any further perfection after the revelation of the Holy Quran on the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. Thus, the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, states that Islam itself testifies the verse that this day I have perfected your religion for you. These are the signs of prophethood, and there is no need to discuss their deeper meanings, because the principles are self-evident and clear and are known as established verities. It is not necessary for a believer to get involved in their detailed exposition. All that is needed is faith. We can stop an opponent if he raises an objection, and if he persists, then we can ask him to provide the proof of the issues related to his arguments and how he responds to them. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, states that in short, the seal of the prophethood is one of the signs of the prophethood of the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The fact that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, is Khatamun Nabiyyin, i.e. the seal of the prophets, is one of his signs, and it is necessary for every Muslim to believe in it. Therefore, as I have mentioned before, that if someone does not believe in Khatmin Nabuwat, i.e. the seal of the prophets, then the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, states that such a person is not a Muslim and he falls outside the fold of Islam. Then, while confirming the true status of the term Khatamun Nabiyyin and the eminence of Islam and its superiority over other religions, the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, states, when arguments and wisdom reach its pinnacle, that is the name given to Khatmin Nabuwat. Beyond this, those who criticize are nothing short of an atheist. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, states, everything contains manifest signs, and in order to understand them, one requires complete wisdom and illuminate insight. If one has complete wisdom and knowledge of faith, as well as a radiance bestowed from God Almighty, only then can one understand these matters. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, further states, "After the advent of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, faith and wisdom were perfected, and other nations were illuminated. No other nation was bestowed such a radiant and illuminate teaching. Had they received it, why could they not then influence the Arabs? No other nation was granted this perfect teaching, and every prophet that appeared was sent to a specific area." The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, further states, "This is one proof that the Arabs had no knowledge of God nor about faith. Those who had knowledge and were acquainted with other faiths did not accept them because they were not a perfect teaching and nor the perfect light. If the perfect light was found in the faiths of the past, then they would have had some impact on the Arabs." The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, states, "From the Arabs arose the moon that would illuminate every nation and shine its light upon every region. This is the status of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, that he was to enlighten every nation and every city, and his light was to reach every corner of every area." The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, states, "It is only the Quran that has the honor of succeeding over all religions of the world when dealing with the matter of Tawheed, i.e. the oneness of God and prophethood, i.e. the proofs and arguments presented by the Holy Quran in regards to Tawheed, i.e. the oneness of God and prophethood, are such that were not granted to any religion before. Thus, this in turn means that the faith was perfected and that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, was to be the seal of the prophets." The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, further states, "It is a true honor that such a book has been bestowed to the Muslims. Those people who attack the teachings and guidance granted by Islam, they do so merely out of resentment and in a state of disbelief. Thus, it is Islam that arose from the Arabian Peninsula and spread to the corners of the world in its original form. And this continues to spread until this very day. Thus, in today's age, the Ahmadiyya community is using all its strength and resources to preach the status of Tawheed and prophethood to every town and every street in every village. Thus, today, only we can comprehend the true meaning of Khatm-e-Nubuwwat and the Sharia, our Islamic teachings, bestowed upon the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. It was only the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, who explained the true status of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, to the other religions. He not only explained his status, but in fact stated that the teachings of other prophets had been interpolated to such an extent that it was difficult to determine the status of their prophets and whether they were truthful or not. Therefore, this was another magnificence of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, that he explained the truthfulness and reality of the prophets of the past. Regarding this, the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, states, "Only that teaching may be perfect which nurtures and supports all of the human faculties, rather than that which only focuses on one. Look at what the doctrine of the gospel states, as against to what the human nature states. The human faculties and nature is a practical manifestation of God's book. The human nature and one's natural faculties are a practical manifestation of his book. His book, which is in its oral form, which is called the Book of God, or God's teaching, why would it be against the design of creation? The guidance which God Almighty has revealed in the oral form and is known as the Holy Quran and is the Book of God cannot go against the natural design of man, because the natural faculties of man are in fact the practical embodiment of those teaching that are found in the oral form of the book. Thus, one's faculties are the practical manifestation of God's book, and the Sharia is the oral form of God's book. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, further states, "Similarly, if the advent of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, had not taken place, then the morals, guidance, miracles and the spiritual powers of the former prophets would have been criticized. But the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, came and declared them to be pure. This is why the signs of his prophetic office manifest brighter than the sun, and there are countless signs of his. Criticizing his prophetic office or the signs of his prophet's office is as if it is day, and a stubborn blind person says that it is night. I say it again, that the other religions would have remained in the dark if the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, had not come. The belief would have been lost, and the earth would have been destroyed by God's curses and punishment. Islam is like a lit up lamp, which has also led others out of the darkness. Read the Torah and you will find out that it is difficult to find anything about paradise and hell. Look at the Gospel and there is no sign of Tawheed, i.e. the oneness of God. There are no doubts that both these books were from God, but what knowledge and spiritual radiance can you find in it? The true and real spiritual radiance, which is necessary for the salvation, is in Islam. Look at Tawheed. Wherever you open the Quran, you will find something about it. It seems like a drawn sword that cuts the root of polytheism. In the same way, one can find all the various aspects of prophethood in such clear light that it is impossible to be more obvious. Thus, this is the reality of Khatm-e-Nubuwwat that the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, gave us. Today, the clerics, i.e. the ulama, look for opportunities to blame each other. However, none of them have the courage to show other religions their true teachings and blemishes. And nor could they prove the superiority of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. In fact, this was the work of the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, and through his knowledge and training, the Ahmadiyya community is continuing this. And yet, despite this, in their, i.e. the opponent's eyes, we are disbelievers, and they are the believers. In regards to the true nature of his claim, the promised Messiah explains in his book and states, "Can that unfortunate fabricator, who himself claims to be an actual messenger and prophet, believe in the Quran? Further, can that individual who believes in the Quran, and similarly who believes in the verse, that the Holy Prophet is the Messenger of Allah, and that he is Khatamun Nabiyyin, and considers this verse to be the word of God, say after the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, that he is a prophet and messenger?" The seeker of justice should bear in mind that in no circumstances has this humble self ever been a claimant to prophethood or apostleship. Furthermore, is the use in every speech of such words, with the literal meanings commonly found thereof in lexicons, not indicative of heresy? Therefore, I do not like to do this, as there is a possibility that thereby ordinary Muslims may be deceived. That notwithstanding, I am not able to hold back on the basis of being ordained to do so, from stating those discourses and dialogues which God Almighty has blessed me with, in which the words prophethood and apostleship were extensively used. Since God Almighty has used these words, therefore I can't conceal them. However, I say this time and time again, that in the words prophet or messenger used in the revelations in my respect are not to be implied in the actual usage of the words. In reality, I bear witness with all my might that our prophet, peace be upon him, is the seal of the prophets, and that after him there shall appear no prophet, new or old. Meaning that whosoever says that after our prophet and master that he is verily a prophet or messenger in the literal sense of the words, he is an impostor and has abandoned the Quran and the clear commands of the Sharia. He is an infidel and an arch liar. In short, our belief is this: whosoever claims to be a prophet in the true sense and deliberately leaves the Holy Prophet's garb of blessings and on separating from the pure fountain openly declares himself to be a prophet of God, that individual is an atheist. It is well possible that an individual of this nature will construct his own creed, bring changes in worship, and further modifications and alterations to divine commandments. Certainly he would become the brother of Musaylimah the liar, and there would be no doubt about his disbelief. Is it possible to say about such a corrupted character that he believes in the Quran? Thus one who adheres to the Sharia can be bestowed honor from God Almighty, but one who moves away from showing subservience to the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, cannot attain this honor, and nor can one call himself a Muslim. Further expounding on this, the promised Messiah states, We are Muslims and we believe in God Almighty's book, the Holy Quran. We also firmly believe that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, is the Prophet and Messenger of God, and moreover, that he came with the perfect faith. And we also believe that he is Khatamul Anbiya, i.e. the seal of the prophets, and there can be no other prophet after him, except one who has been nurtured from the fountainhood of his beneficence, just as the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam was, and whose advent was in accordance to his prophecies, and that God Almighty grants honor to the saints of this ummah through divine discourse, and they are adorned with the attributes of the prophets. However, they are not prophets in the real sense, because the Holy Quran has completed all that is required from the Sharia, and they are granted the true comprehension of the Holy Quran. However, they do not add anything from themselves to it, and nor take anything away from it. And one who adds anything to the Holy Quran from himself, or takes anything away from it, is a rebellious Satan. In our view, Khatm-e-Nubuwwat means that all the excellences have reached their pinnacle in the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, who is greatest among all the prophets and the messengers of God Almighty. We also believe that after the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, one can only attain the status of a prophet who is from among the Ummah, i.e. the followers of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and is completely devoted to him, and has received all his grace and blessings from his spirituality, and has become radiant by his spiritual light. There is no question of dishonor to the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, when one attains this state, and nor is this implicated in any way. This station of prophethood is not at all independent, and neither is something that one should be startled at. In fact, it is the Ahmad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the chosen one, who has appeared in the reflection. A person who witnesses his own image in a reflection showed to him by God Almighty does not feel dishonored at all, because one does not feel dishonored when it comes to one's own sons and students. Thus, he who appears after having received the grace and blessings of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and becoming wholly immersed in him, his advent is in fact as if it were the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, himself, because he has reached the pinnacle stage of complete devotion to him and is adorned with his attributes and clad in his garb, and he has taken his spiritual form from the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, himself. Such a person attains a perfect state due to the grace and blessings of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and this very fact testifies to the blessings of the Holy Prophet. People can witness the excellences of the Holy Prophet through such devotees who, due to their perfect love and sincerity, are wholly devoted to the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. And it is completely foolish to present any argument against this, because this is a proof from God Almighty, which proves that the Holy Prophet was not abtar, i.e. without any male issue. And one who ponders over this does not require any detailed explanation. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, was not the physical father of any men, but due to the blessings of his prophethood, he is the father of all those who have achieved a perfect state in their spirituality, and he is the seal of all the prophets, and the leader of all the chosen ones. Now only he can enter the divine court of God Almighty, who has the imprint of the Holy Prophet's seal, and completely follows his practice. No other practice or form of worship shall be accepted before God Almighty from one who does not declare the prophethood of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and does not remain firm on his religion. And one who separates himself from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and does not follow him with all his strength and might shall perish. There shall be no new law after the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and nor can one abrogate his book and commandments or make any changes to his holy book. There is no reign which can match the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him's powerful reign, i.e. spiritual reign. And one who moves away even an iota from adhering to the Holy Quran, he deviates away from faith. And no one can attain any success unless they adhere to that which has been established by the practice of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. One who abandons even the smallest piece of guidance of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, he falls astray. Moreover, one who claims to be a prophet from within this ummah, but does not hold the belief that he has received his guidance from the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, who is the best among the whole of mankind, and that he is nothing without his blessed model, and that the Holy Quran is the most perfect law, then such a person shall perish and shall be counted among the disobedient and rebellious. And one who claims to be a prophet but does not hold the belief that he is from the Ummah, i.e. the followers of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and that everything he attained is due to the grace and blessings of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and that he is one of the fruits from the garden of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and that he is a droplet from the powerful rain of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and that he is a ray from the light of the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then such a person is accursed, and the curse of God Almighty is also cast upon his companions, followers, and helpers. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, is not sending this curse upon himself and his Jamaat. Rather, it means that he believed that he received the most spiritual blessings and grace from the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. And it is the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, who has attained such a rank where God Almighty has honored him with the status of a non-law-bearing prophet due to his subservience to the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, further states, "Under the heavens there is no prophet other than the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and there is no book other than the Holy Quran, and whoever opposes this will drag himself towards hell." The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, has on countless occasions explained the true meaning of Khatm al-Nubuwwat and its true status, and also his own status in respect to it. He also said that if the Muslims remained firm on their faith and truly followed the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, then what need was there for his advent? Thus in one place he states, "In terms of worldly examples, we can cite the example of Khatm al-Nubuwwat as the moon which starts off in the form of a crescent and gradually reaches its perfect stage 14 days later, where it is referred to as Badr. Similarly, the excellences and qualities reached their perfection in the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. And those who are of the belief that the door to prophethood has been forcefully shut, and believe that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, should not be given greater regard than Yusuf bin Amitai, then such people have failed to understand its true essence and have no knowledge of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's attributes and excellences. Despite their lack of understanding and knowledge, they claim that it is we who do not believe in Khatm al-Nubuwwat. They themselves have failed to understand this, and yet they claim that we are the ones who do not believe in Khatm al-Nubuwwat." The promised Messiah states, "What shall I say to people who suffer from such ailments, and how shall I pity them? If their state was not like this, and they were not far removed from faith," in other words, if the Muslims were not in the current state that they are in today, where they have no understanding of the true essence of Islam, and were not distanced from faith, then the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, state, that then what was the purpose of my advent? If their faith was unblemished and their spirituality was complete, then what was the need of my advent? The state of their faith had deteriorated, and they were completely oblivious to the reality and purpose of Islam. Otherwise, there is no reason for him to harbor enmity against the truthful people, which makes one a disbeliever. This means that the one who is on the right path and has been sent by God Almighty, but also believes in the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, with full conviction, then there is no reason for one to harbor enmity against such an individual, i.e. harboring enmity for the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, who has been sent by God Almighty, will make an individual a kafir, i.e. a disbeliever. Thus, why do Muslims who profess the kalima, i.e. declaration of faith, declare us to be disbelievers? The one who declares another a disbeliever is himself removed from the pale of Islam. The hadith of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, is witness to this very fact. Thus, these people who declare us to be disbelievers fall prey to their own ploy. Therefore, out of our sentiments of sympathy for these Muslims who profess the kalima, we say to them to reform their conditions and to ponder deeply about what God desires or wishes from us. It is my wish that the few extracts I have presented become a source of guidance for the civilized Muslims, and instead of raising allegations against us, they use it as a means of reforming their own conditions. In regards to the Pakistan National Assembly and the change in the wording of the constitution, which a few days after it had been settled, a member of parliament unnecessarily made an inflammatory speech. The This speech was not only intended to ignite the false honor of the members of the assembly, but was also an attempt to incense the general public and cause disruption throughout the country so that the entire population rises against Ahmadis. And alongside this, it was an attempt to show himself as a leader that was loyal to the country in order to breathe new life into his political career. However, some rational politicians and media personalities and civilized people have expressed their dislike. And for this reason, we should have hope that a civilized faction exists in Pakistan who have begun to voice their opinions against such false statements. They have then explained to him what the real facts are. This member of parliament attempted to make a claim that it was an insult to his pride and honor that the physics department at Qaid-e-Azam University was named after Dr. Abdul Salam. And the reason was that because he is a kafir, a disbeliever, and does not believe in the finality of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. However, he should think himself that the person who named this department was the previous head of his very own political party, and was not only the former Prime Minister, but also his own father-in-law. So why did he not show his honor then? And when this took place, why did not kindle his honor then? The only reason is that currently their party is facing heavy criticism, and therefore they believe that in order to save themselves, they can raise their voice against Ahmadis and say anything that comes to their mind. But as far as Ahmadis are concerned, we have no concern for whether it is named after him or not. In fact, on the day they named the department after him, the people close to the late Dr. Salam, his son, as well as the rest of his children, wrote a letter to the Prime Minister of Pakistan, for which they are yet to receive a reply, in which they express their astonishment that it took the Pakistan government 20 years after the demise of Dr. Salam Sahib to name a department after this exceptional Pakistani scientist. They also wrote that despite the fact that their father was declared non-Muslim according to the constitution, for which he was deeply saddened, however, he never relinquished his Pakistani citizenship. Moreover, Britain, Italy, and even India offered to grant him citizenship. Yet he always stated that he will remain loyal to Pakistan and endeavor to improve the condition of Pakistan. And this is exactly what he strived to do. In short, the children of Dr. Salam Sahib wrote to the Prime Minister of Pakistan at the time, stating that they are Muslims, and in order to seek the pleasure of God, they remain attached to the Ahmadiyya community and have accepted the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam. They said that owing to the fact that our rights are usurped in Pakistan and what we say is not accepted, we, as the members of the Salam family, do not express any pleasure at this decision by the government of Pakistan, and instead, we distance ourselves from it and will remain disassociated with it. And so, this was the reaction by the children of Dr. Salam Sahib. And so, if the Pakistan Assembly wish to change the name, then they can do so with ease. The Salam family and the Ahmadiyya community will not be affected by it. Then he, the aforementioned Member of Parliament, then stated that Ahmadis should not be enrolled into the army. However, the history of Pakistan bears witness to the fact that to date, every Ahmadi that joined the army offered every sacrifice for their country. usually people in the army, such as soldiers, junior commissioned officers, majors, or even colonels, offer sacrifices. However, Ahmadis are such that even after reaching the rank of general, they do not retreat from the trenches. And there were Ahmadi generals among those that were martyred. And the Pakistani media is also bringing this to light. And by presenting the facts, they are questioning about what he has said. Furthermore, the media are highlighting the names of General Akhtar Malik and General Ali, as well as General Iftikhar, who was martyred. And so the aforementioned Member of Parliament, who delivered this provocative speech, only reached the rank of captain in the army. And then on becoming the son-in-law of the Prime Minister, or the Chief Minister, he resigned from the army and joined the race for wealth by entering politics. If he really had any sentiments of love for his country, then he should have stayed in the army and offered sacrifices for it. Another allegation raised against Ahmadis is that they do not serve their country and are not loyal to their people. However, I can say with full conviction that today it is only Ahmadis who follow the teachings of Hubbul Watani min al Iman, i.e. that loyalty for one's country is part of faith, and act upon it. They are willing to sacrifice their life and wealth and are currently doing so. We do not make speeches to merely advance our political agenda, and nor do we have any association with politics. We are willing to sacrifice our life for our faith. However, we are not the ones who use religion to aid our political agenda, and nor are we guilty of murder in the name of religion. We believe wholeheartedly that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, is the seal of the prophets. And in order to protect his honor, we are ready to offer any sacrifice, and this is something we carry out. And God willing, we shall continue to offer this sacrifice. It is the duty of the Ahmadis residing in Pakistan to pray for the country in which Ahmadis offered sacrifices right from the outset. And that may God Almighty protect it, and may He protect us from the oppressive tyrants and the self-indulging clerics. And may Pakistan be counted among the liberated and civilized countries of the world.
Alhamdulillah, na'amadu wa nasta'inu wa nasta'khfiru wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'uzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyati amalina من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِيتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنكَرِ وَالْبَغْيِ يَعِظُكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ اذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ يَذْكُرْكُمْ وَادْعُوهُ يَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ